Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Ray Hager and I continue our conversation with State Senator Tick Sagerblum. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, we have former State Senator Warren Hardy and Brian Wachter. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, part two of our conversation with State Senator Tick Sagerblum. In our last broadcast, you were talking about, no longer being able to look at gaming as the sole source of revenue for our state. And I find it interesting because gaming at this point is around 36% of the revenue of the properties in Southern Nevada. And it's all the rest of the entertainment, the hotel rooms, the nightclubs, the shows that make up. It's broadened way beyond gambling just because it had to, and that's a great thing. With the Genting project that's now on the boards here, that was the old Stardust and was going to be the Echelon project, you're going to see an initial investment of $2 billion up to $7 billion. And if you figure that in 5 years ago's money, which is what you need to look at these days, that's as big as City Center by the time that's done, maybe even bigger. So when we look at economic development, how much of a difference do you think it's really going to make as Las Vegas continues to grow as the entertainment capital, including gaming, rather than everything else?
Well, I mean, we are going to grow, but we're not growing nearly like we used to. And the Genting is on the books, but no one started doing anything yet.
Hang on a second, that's but you've got $2.5 billion expansion of the convention center. You've got SLS putting $750 million into what was the Sahara project. You've got Harrah's invested in their whole redevelopment area there. You've got the new MGM arena that they're putting in. I think we're looking pretty solid.
Well, again, these are all in the drawing books, but they're not, none of them, other than Sahara, broken ground.
So these are all Caesars.
Yeah, but they're all projects, and hopefully we have the stadium at UNLV. There's a lot happening, but at the end of the day, that's all, again, in gaming, trying to keep people coming here and bringing in new business, but it's not going to increase like it used to. But we have a good, solid base. The key is, can we start to take that base and make our quality of life better? And to do that, we're going to have to raise taxes on everybody so we can have a good quality of life. I go to Reno, I think, wow, you guys have it fantastic. But we're subsidizing you, so you guys have to start paying something too.
Well, there are those who would say that in terms of the economy, that Southern Nevada is definitely on the road to recovery. And as you say, these projects are on the books and they'll be developed over the next, 2 to 4 years. And with Elko County, you're seeing obviously the boom in gold. Potentially in Lyon County with the Pumpkin Hollow Mine, you're going to see a boom in rural Nevada. Actually, Western Nevada is trailing in terms of economic recovery. And I'm not saying that Washoe County shouldn't pay taxes. I'm just saying that it really is Southern Nevada is going to become a huge driving force and creating thousands and thousands of new jobs.
Well, I hope so, because if you go to Southern Nevada, people are starving. The construction industry is dead. And the construction workers have been out of work for years. It is really tragic what's happened down there. And a lot of people have left the state and had to go elsewhere to work. So we need that to come back. But again, it's not going to come back to the point where we had city center and all these other things going on at one time. And housing, that hasn't started to come back at all. So we have a long way to go. But the main thing is our quality of life is so poor compared to your quality of life. And that's what I'm trying to say is we have subsidized Northern Nevada. You have a great university system. You just have neighborhoods that are beautiful. We need to have that in Southern Nevada.
Well, you were just talking about the construction industry being dead in this. I'm going back to this construction defects legislation. Is they say that the construction industry is not going to come back until this construction defects legislation is passed, because people don't want to get into home building anymore because the insurance is too high, and the potential for a huge settlement in a construction defect case drives people out of the business.
Well, the same laws that they're complaining about today were on the books in 2005, and they were building lots of houses. So that's basically a fallacious argument. It does raise the cost of building, but the reason the houses aren't being built is not because of construction defect laws. It's because no one wants to buy a house. In Las Vegas,
Senator, this is, I read the papers out of Southern Nevada and read their real estate reports all the time, and major housing developers are buying up huge chunks of land in Southern Nevada. They are seeing the turnaround. There has already been a turnaround in the market. Major investment groups are coming in and buying up lots of houses that have been in default. You're seeing new construction in Southern Nevada. You're seeing new construction in Northern Nevada. There's development in Reno right now. Housing prices are starting at $500,000 upward. So I don't think that the home construction industry is by any means dead at this point in time. I think that we've come out of that. And I'm playing devil's advocate with you here, but it sounds to me like you're willing to look at the economy and paint it in a negative light because you want to raise taxes. And the only way you can raise taxes is to say that everything else is dead, because if it weren't dead, then the economy would be plowing along. We would naturally get an increase in taxes just from the extra business.
I disagree. 60% of the houses in Nevada are underwater. Until that is able to equalize, in my house, and I owe twice as much as the house is worth, my mortgage is the same as my neighbor, we're not going to recover in this housing thing.
And that's only going to make a difference if you decide you need to sell your home. If you stay in your home, eventually, we hope that it will come up to a reasonable level.
Yeah, but you can just look at the projections. What happened in the 2000s is never going to happen again. So housing prices are never going to go back to where they were.
And 25 years ago, they said Atlantic City is going to kill Las Vegas.
Well, we all have our own opinions, but I do think that...
I mean, Genting is looking at coming in. This is a Singapore... this is a Malaysian company that has a major project in Singapore, and they're saying, we're going to bet big on Las Vegas because we believe that this is going to continue to be a growing market. Look at the airport. The expansion for foreign travelers...
Well, it's great to see the glass is half full, and I'm with you. I mean, I'm optimistic about Nevada's future, but unless we're willing to pay... for the amenities that go along with that future, we're going to be in the same place we are now, which is we're going to have poor schools, we're going to have poor roads, we're going to have poor universities, poor quality of life. And I'm saying let's make sure we have the good quality of life before we start worrying about growing so fast.
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator Tate Sagerbloom, and Ray will get to ask a question when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources, like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Tick Sagablin.
Senator, Speaker Marilyn Kirkpatrick is expected to come out with a bill about entertainment tax, taking away a lot of the loopholes in the law. And with this new bill, we would be taxing the NASCAR race in Las Vegas, the Burning Man Festival north of Reno, the Night in the Country Music Festival out in Yerington, and we would also be taxing more topless and, you know, strip clubs in Nevada. What do you think about this idea? I know you must like it.
Absolutely. Again, it's an example of how dysfunctional our tax system is, that if an event happens in a hotel, it's taxed, but if it happens at NASCAR or whatever, or out in the Black Rock Desert, it's not taxed, and that's crazy. And these are events that bring people. They should pay their fair share to the state of Nevada.
Can I do a quick lightning round with you, a couple of quick questions? There's a couple of bills on autism in Health and Human Services on the Assembly side. Are you looking favorably on those two bills as they come to you?
I'm not familiar with the bill, but anything that supports autism or any of those kind of things, I support.
Okay. From your judiciary chair, are we going to see an appellate court coming out for the Supreme Court to give them some relief?
Absolutely. That bill is going to come out and it'll be on the ballot in 2014.
And do you think that it will pass?
There's a good chance. I don't think we have, as a state, focused on convincing or explaining to the voters why this is so important. And I'm committed, along with the Supreme Court, to really putting together a good team and going out and explaining. If you look at the numbers, our Supreme Court is totally overworked. It's crazy. And what that means is you really don't get justice because they don't have time to focus enough on the issues. So with this intermediate court will really help them manage their load, and they can take the really important cases, and this intermediate court can take a lot of the other cases.
But, Senator, don't you think there, in Nevada, there's a lack of empathy for judges in general?
Not at all. I mean, we have these preconceived notions that people don't like taxes and people don't like all these things, and I think that's an old Nevada. I mean, you guys have been stuck up here in Northern Nevada too long. The reality is, down in Southern Nevada, we want progress. We know we're a modern state, so we want annual sessions. We want intermediate courts. We want good schools. I mean, we're ready to move forward and get off these old things. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, and it's just, I think that's the Northern Nevada mindset that is slowly we're hopefully getting rid of.
Okay, now, you know, I am a Northern Nevadan, but I created this program specifically to be a statewide program so that all voices across the state will be heard equally. And I've heard you several times now creating this North-South rift. Do you think that that's beneficial for Nevada? And because I think everybody in Northern Nevada recognizes that the power has shifted to the South, the population base. Obviously, it makes sense for the South. But does that mean that Northern Nevada and rural Nevada should expect to get nothing from the legislature in coming years?
Not a bit, but they've obviously got more than their fair share over the years, and we're just trying to
in
get
your
our
opinion.
Well, I think if you look at it, let's look at what UNR has gotten compared to UNLV. It's ridiculous.
They're a somewhat older institution that have a lot. I don't need to shill for the president of the university, but one of the problems with UNR is that they have a lot of very old buildings that have needed a lot of upkeep and maintenance over the years versus UNLV that is a younger campus. But I'm not arguing that UNLV needs additional money.
Well, when I go to UNR, I see brand new brick buildings that the like I've never seen. I mean, they're gorgeous. Your campus is fantastic.
Okay, Senator, this is the key thing. We people in the North know this new higher ed funding is going to take money from the northern campuses and move it to the South. But the key here for northern and rural Nevada is hold harmless legislation that would help fund the northern campuses until they can figure out a way to balance things out more. Are you in favor of the hold harmless legislation that is so important to someone like Senator Pete Goicoechea out of Eureka?
Well, but here's the irony. Pete Goicoechea represents probably more gold than the rest of us, the rest of the world almost. Why doesn't he, instead of being worried about hold harmless, go to the gold company and say, look, let's raise your taxes and let's make sure we have a international university in Elko. I mean, you guys you have the resources. You just don't want to give us to us. You want to share with the rest of the state. So you want us in Southern Nevada to come up here and give you money, hold you harmless, and that's not going to happen. You need to come to the table and start to participate and give some taxes too. And I'm not talking about mindset. I'm talking about the leadership. I think the voters in Northern Nevada, just like the voters in Southern Nevada, if they know they're going to get something for their money, they will support taxes. But we all know we need more money. Our state employees are starving. Our institutions are starving. Our mental health, as we talked about, our roads, our universities. I mean, the needs for money are out there. And let's just all come to the table and say, look, we're going to raise money, raise taxes, and make this a better state.
But will you be willing, when the economic recovery comes, and we can see it coming, to at that point then say, okay, we're getting enough revenue from all this new business, and therefore we can back off of some of these taxes?
Oh, I mean, I'm always willing to look at it, but remember when Kenny Gwynn, he got out of that money, what did he do? He gave it back to all the car people. That was insane. I mean,
He didn't give it back to car people. He gave it back to the people
had car registration.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why would you ever give money back like that? I mean, with all the dying needs we have here.
We're out of time. Okay. I just want to take a personal second to say thank you so much for leading on this marijuana legislation for people that need medical marijuana and to give them some kind of legitimate way to be able to purchase it. And I think that you're in one of the leaders in our country and really appreciate it.
And it's going to happen this session.
All right, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you so much. Please come back before the end of the session.
All right,
we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
We don't just practice law here in Reno.
This is our home.
Careless conduct is a danger to everyone.
When we help people recover from their accidents and injuries,
it sends a message. Slow down around schools. Don't tailgate. Don't text and drive. And don't drink and drive.
This helps to make our community safer.
If you've been injured, give us a call. I'm Bob Jensen.
And I'm Graham Galloway.
For your free consultation, call Galloway and Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should too.
Tax relief time at your Ashley Furniture Home Store has been extended. Stretch your dollar even further with huge savings store-wide. Plus discounts equal to double your sales tax and 6 months interest-free financing. Or choose nothing down and interest-free financing till 2016. Save up to 65% on great doorbuster deals. This year, put your tax return to work. Take a discount equal to double your sales tax or pay nothing down and get free financing till 2016. Hurry, it ends Monday. Only at your Ashley Furniture Home Store.
Car accidents, motorcycle accidents, injured in an accident.
Do insurance companies stack the deck against you with high-powered attorneys and expert witnesses? Yes, they do.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Get the best seafood in town at Scampi. Make your reservation tonight. Our gnocchi, lasagna, and ravioli are homemade fresh every day. The best seafood and pasta selection is at 425 South Virginia. Scampi, Reno's new dining spot.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, former State Senator Warren Hardy is here, principal with Hardy Consulting, and Brian Wachter with the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you both back on the program.
Warren.
You know, over the last two broadcasts, we aired Tick Segerbloom. It just sounded to me like if it moves, tax it. You know, everybody's got money. You know, is there a portion of the Democratic Party in this capital city that just feels that everybody's ready to go out and be taxed?
Well, I think there
on
is. I don't know that that's the entire Democratic Party. I mean,
no, I'm saying a portion of it.
Certainly, Senator Segerbloom is proud of his progressive credentials. But, you know, he understands where he fits in the process, and the nice thing is he doesn't take anything personal. The other nice thing about Senator Segerbloom is, you know, he's sincere. He believes this. This is not an act. This is not a show. This is what he actually believes. And, you know, it's not hard to respect a person like that because you know where they're coming from on every issue, and he doesn't change his position.
Well, and it's nice to see someone consistent on day one versus, you know, day 98 that you expect and you know where they're at you know, their plans or beliefs or anything haven't evolved to something completely different. So I think it's nice with that stability.
Well, I know that I'm known as a person who thinks the glass is always half full, but he looked at just about every area of business in Nevada and claimed that it was all going backwards or still in turmoil, and yet we could still raise taxes on all these things. But Glenn Bolger's poll for the Retail Association did not say that at all.
No, you know, the poll that he conducted on our behalf in February showed a Nevada that is being more optimistic, that is starting to see things as better than they were. Still seeing some problems, but only, you know, unfortunately for Senator Segerbloom, only willing to tax under very strict, controlled circumstances. It is not a free check by any means for, I think, any Democrat in the legislature to think that revenue avenues are open to them and it's a broad... it's a broad chance. Voters were very specific about under what circumstances that they'd be willing to go forward in that route.
And as far as, example, home construction, aren't we seeing an increase in home construction across the state at this point in time?
Well, I think we are. We're starting to see an increase in construction across the state, which is a good sign. You know, I think with regard to Senator Segerbloom's reaction to that, I think as a policymaker, though, you've got to look skeptically. You've got to consider. You got to plan for the worst case scenario. So I think you know, as a defense mechanism to get caught up in the excitement of hey, things are going to be great. As a policymaker, you got to deal with things in the worst case scenario, and I think that might be the reason for that reaction.
Well, one of the things I asked him about was, you know, if you're willing to tax everything now, when things are bad, when things turn around and we're seeing multi-billion dollar projects being proposed, especially here in Southern Nevada, in Southern Nevada, from $2.5 billion for the Las Vegas Convention Authority for their project, between $2 and $7 billion for the Genting project that'll be where Echelon was supposed to be. I said, well, when you start to see those revenues rising, you know, will you lower the taxes because of the amount of revenue coming in? No, that wasn't.
No, I don't think you ever run into an instance where your tax rate is going to be lowered because your base is expanded, and that's unfortunate because I think that's part of the cornerstone of the governor's plan, which is you can grow your way out of the problem, which I think you absolutely can do. The problem is if you start putting more hurdles and restraints on growing, where you are putting your taxes at a certain rate in order to be able to kind of meet a revenue deadline, so to speak, you stop that growth, you halt that growth, or you do make it slower, and eventually the problem, I think, kind of just gets more worse as it goes on, as opposed to leave the rates low, let us grow it out, and then your revenues are going to increase because of it.
And for the most part, if there's money there, somebody's going to want to spend it. Let's change topics to an area that I know that you're working on, Warren, which is distributed generation in terms of solar energy. Briefly explain that. Give us the 30-second version of what that is and what your firm is trying to do.
Okay, well, yeah, I represent Hamilton Solar on that issue. And what we're trying to do is make sure the concept of distributed generation doesn't get lost in the discussion about, you know, the NV Energy large-scale solar. Distributed generation is sort of the rooftop, the homes, the small businesses, the schools where you see the panels on top. That's distributed generation that serves just that facility instead of large scale. It doesn't require transmission. It doesn't require... And that's the one area where we're starting to see after years of government incentives that is starting to get to the point where it can stand on its own 2 feet. But if we don't get the policy right this time, I mean, we really can we can do one of two things this session. We can have the distributed generation continue successfully on its own 2 feet based on what we do this session, or we can kill that section of the industry.
How would it be killed?
Well, because if the policy of the state is all geared towards large-scale solar, instead of developing policies that allow the distributed generation side to thrive, we just won't be able to do it. I mean, there's incentives that we were talking about phasing out, which we've always anticipated, but now there's conversations about doing things with net metering that would negatively impact the ability of the industry to survive without incentives.
And this is where you sell back power to the grid?
Yeah, yeah. You don't technically sell it back. You get a credit.
All right.
For power.
Okay, and that's where we're going to leave it. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Getting up early, as always. We'll be right back on the Nevada News Maker after this time.
Bring your tax refund to Reno Auto Sound by March 31st. Mention this ad and get an extra $20 for every $100 spent. Come in and browse our huge selection of stereos. Guys, check this out. Get your sweetie a remote car starter for only $199 installed. Girls, how about new window tinting for your guy as low as $99 any car? Financing available with no credit check and 95% approval rate. That's awesome.
I'm heading down to Reno Auto Sound. Reno Auto Sound.
A new day is dawning in Nevada. A day that puts you in charge of your finances. A day when one financial institution can provide you with the cash you need. Loans custom tailored to fit your situation. Check cashing and gold buying services when you don't need a loan at all. Money orders free every day. It's all about you and your financial needs. Experience the Check City difference.
Attention, a very wealthy international benefactor now reveals money-making secrets used by the rich and powerful. Now you can learn how to make more money than you ever dreamed possible. Ancient secrets that have been used by members of secret societies for centuries are now being revealed. Now this money-making secret is being made available to the public. Call the number on your screen and receive the CD, Money Making Secrets Revealed, absolutely free. Learn how you can make money, achieve your dreams, and become financially free. Eliminate debt and develop super wealth. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and is available only for a limited time. Call the number on your screen and receive the CD, Money Making Secrets Revealed, absolutely free. The CD is free and there is no obligation. Call and get Money Making Secrets Revealed, absolutely free.
On our broadcast next week, we'll have State Senator Joe Hardy on the program, also State Senator Aaron Ford, and Tony Sanchez from NV Energy. See you next week.